What is it about the properties that allow it to levitate things? I mean, I find this fascinating.
It's the same thing that, see, I mentioned quantum coherence earlier. When you have a bunch of atoms behaving like a single atom, they start to create what's called the Meissner effect. And the Meissner effect is they will exclude magnetic fields and exclude gravitational field. They'll literally move away from any object that has any kind of a field.
Could you use this as rocket propulsion?
I don't see why not. There's a company in Hungary that's working right now to get funding to build a craft based on this. They've also noticed that when they have two containers full of their Ormus material, that if they resonate one of them, the other resonates at the same time.
You'd probably have to hold it down with rope, or it would float away.
Well, these are not quite in that state of excitation, let's say.
It could, though, if it was.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole principle. That's the principle of propulsion that they're working on.
Now, what is it about the properties, Barry? The gold, the silver, the iridium? What is it about the properties that makes it do what it does?
Okay, this is a really important concept. This is the most important concept. This is the concept that makes it the connection, our connection with spirit. Quantum coherence is the main property that I'm talking about. It's when a bunch of atoms behave like a single atom. And if you have in your body a bunch of atoms all throughout the body that are behaving like a single atom, that's, the sages call it one-pointed awareness. That's everything in your body is acting like one single thing.
All right, and what's the significance of that?
Okay, imagine that you've got a cell phone in every cell, you know, like a mobile phone
sure.
in every cell. And the batteries are weak, and the antenna is damaged, and it really can't call out, maybe except maybe to the cell next door. Now, suddenly you put in some more Ormus into the body, and it recharges the batteries in the cell phone.
Fixes the antenna.
And fixes the antenna, and suddenly it can talk to the big toe or any other part of the body. Every part of the body is suddenly connected. And that connection, that strong connection, also works with anything else in the neighborhood, anything that's got water in it, anybody that's got water in them. So you suddenly have a connection, like cell phones, with everybody else.
Are you saying we could use this for telepathy?
Absolutely. Telepathy also. Scientists are saying that there's a non-physical field. Lynn McTaggart called it the field. David Bohm called it the implicate
mm-hmm,
order.
Mm-hmm.
Rupert Sheldrake calls it the morphogenic field. There's a non-physical field of information, sort of like the internet is a field of information. And this non-physical feel, let's call it the internet, not the internet, the inner net.
A wireless one.
Yeah, and we are connected to it. There's a lot of physicists and other scientists, biologists, that think that the body is basically just an input-output mechanism, like a computer terminal, that connects us with spirit. Now, what happens if we improve our connection to spirit?
You get better reception.
Absolutely. It's like instead of having a slow 56K modem or 8K modem or whatever, a slow modem, suddenly you've got DSL or a T1 line, a really fast internet connection. In fact, it's so fast that it's instantaneous.
Do you believe that the ancients used this a lot?
No. I believe that they used it a bit. Schwaller de Lubacs wrote a book called Sacred Science, And in this book, he said that the ancients had a sacred science, the science of awakening, or the science of awareness. But I would bet that it was probably mostly controlled by structures at the time.
But there must have been some in the hierarchy of those days,
right,
who tapped into it for themselves.
You bet. And typically it would be the people in the upper echelons of the governing structure, whatever it is.
In some cases, you got to be very careful what you do, because, you know, let's say like ingesting gold in its pure form, that could be dangerous to you, right?
Yes, in certain circumstances. I know one gentleman, and this is just one instance, who took pure and very energetic Ormus gold that was annealed according to Hudson's patent and annealed and everything else. And he said that his experience was that, he had to take sleeping pills at night so that he wouldn't think he could go right to sleep, because everything that he thought would manifest in his life.
He made it happen.
He thought, gee, I better be careful here or I'll have an accident. Bam!
He'd have an accident.
Yeah. Everything that he would think of would manifest.
I know, because people who work in like mints or smelting facilities, they wear these heavy masks and material so they don't get it on their skin.
Right. Right. I heard a story in one of my presentations in Sedona. A gentleman who went to was the comptroller, the financial officer for a plating facility where they plated spacecraft and so on with gold. And the reason that they hired him was because gold was disappearing, and they wanted to make sure that people weren't carting it off. Well, he went to this place, and sure enough, everybody there was really, really happy. And he couldn't figure out why these people were so happy, except, you know, maybe they were carting the gold off, and that was making them happy. Well, he checked and followed everything clear through and said, well, there's no way that anybody's taking any gold out of here. It just seems to disappear in the process. And the miners and so on have a name for this. They call it ghost gold. It's gold that you can see, but you can't assay it, you can't analyze it, and you can't recover it. You can't really get it out and use it. And they were making this ghost gold, and because a certain amount of gold in a large process like this will go into the Ormus state, and it disappears from ordinary spectroscopy. You can't see it that way anymore. You know it's there, it's just spectroscopically invisible. Well, eventually they closed this plant, and he worked with them until they shut the plant down. And when they tore the building apart, they found it in the walls, in the ceiling, in the dirt under the building. It was everywhere. They dug down a foot deep, and it was still, there was gold under the building.
In solid or powder form?
As metal.
As metal.
In other words, it was Ormus gold, and then it went back to metal.